the glorious history of the King James Bible. And it is a glorious history. By the way, this has pictures for Independent Baptists. And the Pentecostal Charismatic Movements. It's history and error. This is what we're dealing with tonight, tomorrow night. But since you've stolen half my time, I won't get through the book. The book is here on the table. I think there's three copies left. And it's a very important subject. Something to have on hand if questions come up by Pentecostals and charismatic relatives and whatnot. But we're looking at some of the reasons why we reject the Pentecostal movement. And we've rejected because it exalts experience over Scripture. We reject it also, secondly, because of its emphasis on the miraculous rather than a simple walk of faith. Emphasis on the miraculous rather than a simple walk of faith. John Wimber was very influential in bringing charismatic doctrine into evangelical type churches. And he said, in order to have effective evangelism, we need to do the stuff. He's talking about miracles. Do miracles. Or else no one will believe what we're preaching. Years ago in the 1980s, and I was a missionary at the time and had long rejected Pentecostalism. And I was on a trip to America. I was preaching in a few churches. And my wife and I went to India to get our new visas. We had to leave the country every 90 days and get new visas, and we got our visas in Calcutta, India. And I got sick there. I picked up some bug in Calcutta. Lots of bugs in Calcutta. And I was very, very, very sick. I was able, though, to get on the airplane and come to the States. And then I borrowed a car from a pastor and drove up to Cody, Wyoming. And I was very sick. And not only that, I was broke. And I hate to be broke. I was very depressed. I was lonely. I was away, far away from my family, and just very discouraged. I walked into this little restaurant in Cody, Wyoming, and as I was leaving, I saw this little book there, little booklet, and it was called The Happiest People on Earth. So I took it out to the car, and I began to read it. And it was testimonies. Of course, it was published by the Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship. And it's testimonies of the Pentecostals. And every one of these testimonies, the happiest people on earth, every one of these testimonies was just glowing. I got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and now I don't have any money problems, and we're healthy all the time, and my business is, everything's wonderful. We're the happiest people on earth. And I got so discouraged reading that because I was not the happiest person on earth that particular day. But that's the emphasis on the miraculous. I want us to look at some scriptures. John chapter 20, verse 29 through 31. Just look at several passages of scripture. In John chapter 20, verses 29 through 31. John chapter 20, verses 29 through 31. Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Have not seen. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. And so the Bible tells us that the signs we need are recorded here. Mighty miracles. You want miracles? Here they are. Mighty miracles and signs recorded in the Scripture for the foundation of our faith. Look at Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 in verse 1 says that now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the evidence of things that you cannot see. And so I don't need a miracle for faith. Multitudes saw Jesus' mighty miracles, and yet they did not believe. Evidence of things not seen, faith. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7. For we walk by faith. We walk by faith, what's it say? Not by sight. Not by sight. For we walk by faith, not by sight. In Romans 10, verse 17, the verse that every young Christian should memorize early in his Christian life, because it says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by miracles. No, it says the Word of God. Hearing by the Word of the Lord. Hearing by the Word of the Lord. This is the basis of faith, not any miracle. In Matthew 12, in fact, verse 38, in Matthew 12, verse 38, Jesus rebuked the Jews because of their lusting after signs, miraculous. In Matthew 12, verse 38, then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. We want to see a sign. We want miracles. And he answered and said unto them, an evil and an adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. And there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. He said it's an evil and an adulterous generation that seeks after a sign. Well, that tells me that that's not the right thing to do, obviously. Be lusting after miracles and seeking after signs. That is an evil and adulterous generation. Now look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, to me, single-handedly, as any of these verses really do, single-handedly refutes the Pentecostal approach in theology. Romans chapter 8, verses 18 through 23, is a key passage. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we're saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? And so this verse tells us, this passage tells us, that in this present life we are waiting for the things we have been promised and do not yet experience. And in this present life we can expect sufferings and troubles and groaning and travailing and pain. And that is what we can expect in this present life, because we're living by faith and not by sight. We are not yet in the kingdom of God. We're sons of God, but we don't live in the glory of the sons of God. And so we're waiting by faith for these things, as opposed to the emphasis on, I've got to have a miracle every day. I've just got to have a miracle. Well, we believe in miracles. We see miracles. I've seen many miracles. But we don't lust after them. We don't demand them. We walk by faith, not by sight. And that's the second, I believe, gross error of the Pentecostal movement. That emphasis on the miraculous rather than the simple walk of faith. Another reason why we reject the Pentecostal charismatic movement is because of the false doctrine that the apostolic miracles can be reproduced today. That the apostolic miracles can be reproduced today. Catherine Kuhlman, a very famous charismatic female preacher, said every church should be seeing the healings of the book of Acts. every church should be seeing the healings of the book of Acts. We need to have a book of Acts Christianity. Whatever we see in the book of Acts, that's what we need to expect today. That's what they're saying. But that is to misunderstand the purpose of the healings and the sign gifts in the book of Acts. We've already looked at 2 Corinthians 12. 12, let's look at it again, because I believe this is a significant verse if we're going to understand this subject. 2 Corinthians 12, 12. 2 Corinthians 12, 12. Truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you. The signs of an apostle were wrought among you. In all signs and in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. 2 Corinthians 12, 12. And so there were certain gifts that were signs of the apostle that proved their apostleship. And so you could say, well, that's an apostle. You see those signs there? You see those miracles he could do? Well, that's an apostle then. If in that day, every Christian could run around healing the sick and raising the dead and doing those kinds of sign gifts, then how would you know who's the apostle? Where's the sign? Where's the sign? Well, it would cease to exist. I remember a pastor once that I was flying into an area and he was picking me up at the airport. I'd never seen him. I said, well, how will I know who you are? He said, I'll wear a red hat. He was a strange pastor. I said, okay, red hat. That's the sign of the pastor. The red hat. And what if I got off the airplane and I looked around there after I got my luggage and every man there had on a red hat? What would happen to the sign of the pastor? It would be destroyed. It would be rendered ineffective. Wouldn't work as a sign anymore because everybody's got on a red hat. Likewise, if every Christian could run around healing the sick, raising the dead, doing these special kind of apostolic miracles in the first century, how do you know who's the apostle? The sign would be destroyed. And indeed, if we look at the scriptures, we see that very plainly. Mark 13, verses 14 and 15. Mark 13, verses 14 and 15. Signs of an apostle were wrought among you. Look at Mark 13, Mark 3, I'm sorry. Mark 3, verses 14 and 15. Mark 3, verses 14 and 15. And he ordained 12 that they should be with him, that he might send them forth to preach and to have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out devils. He gave those 12, those apostles, of power, miraculous power. Those were sign gifts, Paul said. Look at Acts chapter 2, verse 43. Let's go to the book of Acts and look at these miracles. Acts chapter 2, verse 43. Acts chapter 2, verse 43. And fear came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were done by who? The apostles. Acts chapter 3, verse 6 through 8. Acts chapter 3, verse 6. Then Peter said, who was Peter? What office did he hold? He wasn't a pope. He was an apostle. Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. It's a sign of an apostle. Acts chapter 4, verse 33. Acts chapter 4, verse 33. And with great power gave who? Witness. Apostles. Acts chapter 5, verse 12. And by the hands of who were many signs and wonders wrought? Who? The apostles. In Acts chapter 5, verse 15, we read, there came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, every one. And those were the apostles. In verse 15, it's talking about Peter, the apostle. In Acts chapter 9, verse 40. Acts chapter 9, verse 40. And Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed and turned him to the body and turning him to the body and said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. Now that's a mighty miracle. That's a sign of the apostle. Peter was an apostle. He raised the dead. Now this is very significant, this particular passage. Because, look at verse 36 and 37. Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. The Christians there could not raise Tabitha from the dead. But what did they do? They heard that Peter was nearby. Verse 38. They called Peter over. Peter who? The apostle. And Peter, the apostle, raised her from the dead. You see what's going on here? Chapter 19, verse 12. Acts chapter 19, verse 12. Signs of an apostle. This is Paul. Paul was an apostle. So that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed out from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Mighty miracles. The handkerchiefs that had touched his body. Healing power, the miraculous healing power, amazing. In Acts chapter 28, verse 3. Acts chapter 28, verse 3. Signs of an apostle were wrought among you. Acts chapter 28, verse 3. When Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom, though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live. And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly. But after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said he was a god. That's a mighty sign. He was bitten by a deadly snake and had no effect at all. But who was he? He was an apostle. And in Acts chapter 28, verses 7 through 9, in the same quarters were possessions of the chief man of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and lodged us 3 days courteously. And it came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. So when this was done, others also which had diseases in the island came and were healed, who also honored us with many honors. And so the healings, miraculous healings that these pagans experienced on that island were signs of an apostle. That was not just some Christian there. That was an apostle there. Those were sign gifts. Do you see what a sign of an apostle is? And all Christians couldn't do it. The Christians there in Joppa could not raise Tabitha from the dead, but Peter the apostle could. And one instance in that book of Acts, someone other than an apostle did such a miracle, but he was a man that had the apostles had laid their hands on. He was closely associated with the apostles. And so, they're confused about this idea of the what we read about, these sign gifts, what they were all about, what their purpose was. And Jesus plainly said that to seek after miracles is the mark of an evil generation. To say that the sign gifts have ceased is not to say that the miracles have ceased. I don't know how many times the Pentecostals, charismatics have written to me and said something like, well, I'm sorry to hear you don't believe in miracles. Well, I believe in miracles. I've experienced miracles ever since I've been saved. Miracles. One time I went all the way around the world without any money. All the way around the world without any money. It was in the 1980s. And I felt that the Lord was leading me to come to the States and find a new place for our budding ministry, Way of Life Literature. The Lord had opened the door miraculously in Brooksville, Florida. Before we went to Nepal, I was traveling and I was praying. I had a book called Mom and Dad Sleep While the Children Rock in Satan's Cradle. And I wanted to print that book. We had printed it in a mimeograph format, but I wanted to print it in a professional type format, but I didn't have any money. I wasn't working as a printer at that time like I had before. And so I was praying for money. You know, that's what you used to pray for when you want something. I want money. And I walked into a print shop and asked them how much it would cost to have that book printed. They told me. So I was praying for that amount of money, but the Lord didn't give me any money. The next meeting I had in Brooksville, Florida, and after the service, after I preached that morning, a man introduced me to one of the church members. His name was Bobby Meadows, and he owned the Brooksville Printing Company. And so I told Bobby about my book, and he said, well, I'll tell you what. He said, if you can come in and do the printing, and you can use the equipment, you can have all of the paper, anything, any supply you want, you just take it. And so that's where I started, Way of Life, and we printed several books in his printing shop, and we printed our first little catalog. And a few years later, I felt the Lord was leading to take it to a new level, and I felt the Lord was going to open some door, a new door for it, but I didn't have any money. And so I took what money I had, and what I wanted to do was I wanted to go to Brooksville, and then I wanted to go and take care of our business there, and then I wanted to drive all the way across the country, meeting different pastors and seeking the door that God was going to open, I felt. So I took all my money and I bought a ticket to New York City. And that's as far as I had a ticket for, and I didn't have any more money. But I wasn't going to New York City, I was going to Brooksville, Florida, and then I was going to go across the country. Another problem I had was if I ever got to Brooksville, I didn't have a car. And so I was on the plane flying from London to New York City, and I sat down, and this man next to me was a Christian man who owned a print shop. And he had been in Germany at a printing convention. And as we were coming in toward New York, I saw him writing on some traveler's checks over here, and he gave me, I think it was $500 of traveler's checks. And I had not told him a word about my situation. And so I took those $500 in traveler's checks, and my friend, that's a miracle, because New York was going to be the end of my road. And I took that money, and I bought a ticket up to a pastor that I had known of before, I'd never met, in Upper State, New York, and I called him the day I got there, which was Wednesday, and he said, you come up, if you can get up here, I want you to preach tonight. I got up there, he gave me a nice offering, and then I flew down to Florida. And I was sitting there in that print shop, the next afternoon, and waiting to see what the Lord was going to do. And a man in the church pulled up outside of the print shop. There was a big glass window there. I could see him. I knew who he was. And it was a nice, a big station wagon he had there. He came in and he said, Brother Cloud, I understand that you need a car. I said, I do need a car. He said, well, what about that car? I said, that's a nice car, but don't you understand I don't have any money? He said, well, I'm giving you the car. And he had bought the car and he had paid all the insurance and gotten the tag, everything. First car with the cruise control. And so I was cruising out across America, my brand new car, with the love offering they'd given me there in Florida. And I went to the end of, I went from coast to coast, and by the time I got to the other coast, I had enough money to go back to Nepal. Now I'm telling you, that's a miracle. I believe in miracles, but I don't believe in apostolic signs. I'm not an apostle, and there are no apostles alive tonight. And we cannot try to force God to do what He's not doing. We've got to accept what God is doing and walk by faith, not by sight. God bless you.